As to the government of this city,"
said Mr. Newbery, leaning back in a leather armchair at the Mausoleum Club and lighting a second cigar,
"it's rotten, that's all."
"Absolutely rotten,"
assented Mr. Dick Overend, ringing the bell for a second whiskey and soda.
"Corrupt,"
said Mr. Newbery, between two puffs of his cigar.
"Full of graft,"
said Mr. Overend, flicking his ashes into the grate.
"Crooked alderman."
"A bum city solicitor. And an infernal grafter for treasurer."
"Yes,"
assented Mr. Newbery, and then, leaning forwards in his chair and looking carefully about the corridors of the club, he spoke behind his hand and said,
"And the mayor's the biggest grafter of the lot. And what's more, the time has come to speak out about it fearlessly."
Mr. Overend nodded.
"It's a tyranny.
Worse than Russia."
They had been sitting in a quiet corner of the club. It was on a Sunday evening, and had fallen into talking, first of all, of the present rottenness of the federal politics of the United States, not argumentatively or with any heat, but with the reflective sadness that steals over an elderly man when he sits in a leather armchair of a comfortable club, smoking a good cigar and musing on the decadence of the present day. The rottenness of the federal government didn't anger them, it merely grieved them. They could remember, both of them, how different everything was when they were young men just entering on life. When Mr. Newbery and Mr. Dick Overend were young, men went into Congress from pure patriotism. There was no such thing as graft or crookedness, as they both admitted, in those days. And as for the United States Senate, here their voices were almost hushed in awe. Why, when they were young, the United States Senate? But no, neither of them could find a phrase big enough for their meaning. They merely repeated,
"As for the United States Senate,"
and then shook their heads and took long drinks of whiskey and soda. Then, naturally, speaking of the rottenness of the federal government had led them to talk of the rottenness of the state legislature. How different from the state legislatures that they remembered as young men! Not merely different in the matter of graft, but different, so Mr. Newbery said, in the caliber of the men. He recalled how he had been taken as a boy of 12 by his father to hear a debate. He would never forget it. Giants, he said, that was what they were. In fact, the thing was more like a Witenagemot than a legislature. He said he distinctly recalled a man, whose name he didn't recollect, speaking on a question, he didn't just remember what, either for or against, he just couldn't recall which. It thrilled him. He would never forget it. It stayed in his memory as if it were yesterday. But as for the present legislature, here Mr. Dick Overend sadly nodded assent in advance to what he knew was coming. As for the present legislature, well, Mr. Newbery had, he said, occasion to visit the state capital a week before in connection with a railway bill that he was trying to... That is, that he was anxious to... In short, in connection with a railway bill, and when he looked about him at the men in the legislature, positively he felt ashamed. He could put it no other way than that, ashamed. After which, from speaking of the crookedness of the state government, Mr. Newbery and Mr. Dick Overend were led to talk of the crookedness of the city government, and they both agreed, as above, that things were worse than in Russia. What secretly irritated them both most was that they had lived and done business under this infernal corruption for 30 or 40 years and hadn't noticed it. They had been too busy. The fact was that their conversation reflected not so much their own original ideas as a general wave of feeling that was passing over the whole community.